stretch out, that your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes, and tell me if you take my place. Under the cover of my skin, welcome to episode number 179 of the Inside Running Podcast, coming to you 5th of April 2021, just after the Easter break. Thanks for joining us for another run. If you're plugging us in, about to go for a run, hopefully we can keep you company for the next hour, 90 minutes or so, see what happens. Welcome to my co-host up in Canberra. I'll be with you this weekend, Bradley Croker, coming to visit. Welcome to this week's show.
Thanks, Brady. Yeah, looking forward to catching up.
Yeah, same. I'm counting down the days. Carly's looking forward to seeing Viv.
Yeah, so what, did you get up Friday?
Yeah, getting up Friday, which will be good. So, yep, looking forward to actually seeing you in person, which happens about once a year with us on here, so that should be good.
Take you out to Mulligan's,
Can't wait out there to meet a couple of the Canberra locals. I've got a list of names I want to meet out there. I'll talk to you about that a bit later on, though. My other co-host, down in Anglesey, or Ballarat Moose, where are you off the flight?
Anglesey.
Welcome to this week's show.
Thank you. You always talk shit about people from Canberra.
No, a lot of people from Canberra. We've got a good supporter base in Canberra.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. Changed his tune because he's visiting this weekend.
Hasn't he? Yeah. Listen to it.
Canberra's like a bigger version of a Chookamalama. I reckon I'd go well in the Canberra kind of vibes up there. I've been there once. I liked it.
They got a big bowling club that they like, that likes to sponsor mediocre runners.
I think, yeah. Didn't you try to get sponsorship once, Brad, off the Canberra Raiders club? Don't they have pokers and stuff there as well?
Nothing for me. They're big in there. They've got a few AFL clubs here. They seem to have a fair bit of funding.
Go back again, Brady. Don't tell me about this.
About what?
About how Croker hit up the club to get sponsorship.
Wasn't there some connection at one stage, Croker? There was some like club up there wanting to put money into the community?
Not that I know of, no, not really.
You're not actually denying this.
I certainly didn't contact anybody.
Did someone contact you though?
Well, a guy who knew somebody at the club thought that they might be interested, but yeah, nothing came of it.
Okay, I knew there was something going on there, Moose. I wasn't just making up stories. Moose, welcome. You're just fresh off a flight today. You raced in Hobart yesterday, so you just want to wrap us through your week quick. Yeah, you can go first. Yeah. Tell us about the race. I'm sure people are dying to hear about it.
So I jogged on Monday a couple of times, and then Tuesday headed off to Ballarat again, just two jogs, easy. Then the Wednesday morning I did a workout. So the workout was 5x3 minutes at around 3:05 pace with 2 minutes jog, and did that with Watto and Toby, so it actually felt really good. I felt like, weirdly enough, running with Watto around sort of made me feel more comfortable again, because I've run with him so much and done so many workouts with him kind of helping that it almost relaxed me a lot more, and I just felt way more comfortable than when I've been running solo or even just with Toby, because his gait's a bit different, his cadence is a bit higher. And I felt like I kept trying to change my gait to sort of slide in with his. And it just wasn't smooth. But yeah, having Watto back was good. I felt really good on this workout. So I think most were around 3:02s. But finished it and was sort of confident in how I was feeling. So this was Wednesday. So this was quite a frustrating week actually. So everything was all good. Jogged back home after the workout. Went to work. Sat down at work. Did a bit of stuff on the computer. Then I stood up, walked out the front to talk to Bree and Alice, their staff. And while I was standing there, I felt a really sharp pain in my knee, and I couldn't. And then I couldn't put weight on it. It would just be like a stabbing pain right through, like the really deep in my knee. And I thought, oh no, this is not good. I've sort of felt this once before when I was surfing. I don't remember if, like, I think I told you guys I hurt my knee when I was surfing back when I was injured last year. Same sort of pain. Ali reckons it's an old meniscus tear that resurfaces and kind of gets inflamed and locks my knee up because I can't straighten my leg while it's like this. So I didn't run that afternoon. I couldn't even really walk around the store. The next day, we flew to Hobart, and so I really struggled that day, like getting around. I was limping around, basically. And so at this stage, I think I messaged you guys, I was about 30% chance to run, just based on how bad the knee was. But I started smacking down some anti-inflams, and by Friday, I started to feel quite a bit better. So Friday morning, I didn't jog. I waited till who got to town. So Friday morning, ran with Ali and Doki, and who else was there? Who else came on that run? I can't remember. Maybe Jose and Ali. Jose and Bree. Did you run that day, Bree? No, Bree's not here. I don't know which. So, yeah, anyway, that's not important, really, is it? So I felt okay. My knee started feeling a little better. And I did a couple of strides in this new ASICS shoe called the Magic Sky Speed, or the Meta Sky Speed. And I was discussing what shoe to wear. Because my knee is bad, I sort of been blaming the Alpha Fly a little bit, because I've sort of been pulling up sore in the knee recently after wearing them. And so I thought I'll wear a firmer shoe, and like a firmer shoe, lower offset, hopefully load the calf and ankle more rather than the knee like the Alpha might. So I ran with a group Saturday morning. We had two groups, 8 o'clock and 8:30 in Hobart. So we all got out for a run. Surf Coast Track Club were down there, and a few others floating through. It was really fun, like kind of hot. It was about 30 degrees down there on Saturday. So, and it was super windy. So the marathoners were starting to shit themselves. It's hard when it's 30 degrees the night before the race. It's really difficult to sort of see a change come. Like the weather app saying it's going to be 12 tomorrow morning, but it's like 8 o'clock and it's 30 degrees and everyone's looking around going, what the fuck is going on? So there's, yeah, some nerves happening there. But in the end, the weather pulled through and it was quite nice. So Sunday morning, by this stage, my knee was feeling heaps better. So I was running. So the next morning, I actually didn't sleep that night. I had a terrible sleep the night before the race. We had to get up really early to have breakfast because the start of the marathon was at 6. So I wanted to get up and out to the Cadbury factory where the start line is, which was about, I think, 25 minutes from where we were staying. So we were up so early, and I just had that full, like, unsettled sleep the night before where I can't get to sleep, and then I'm waking up every 10 minutes fearing that my alarm's not going off, and it was just horrid. But in the end, got out there. It was still pitch black, basically, so went off on a little jog. Watched the marathoners take off and head out down the road, down the river, and then the race. So the race half marathon. I've only ever raced one of these, I reckon, hard before, and it went really badly. So there was a little bit of like a curse on it for me, and it kind of continued with this run. I didn't have a great run. The course, what happens, you know, Bray, oh, you both know, you both did it last year, but you basically do like a lap, a kilometer or so around around the chocolate factory, which is also a new housing estate. And so it's a little odd, the first loop, and then you come back past the start line and you get sent off down the kind of the main road, down the hill. So the pack at the start was three people, Ben Kelly, who I've raced twice this summer, and Nick Earle, obviously, who he's on road to nowhere. And I turned my watch off so I didn't know how fast we were going, and I felt like we were going pretty quick for the first 5K. Like I thought, gee, we're moving. I'm going to get a real shock when I see 5K and it's about 15 minutes or so. And I got through the 5K and slipped my watch, and it said 15:43. And I was like, what? That is so slow for what, how fast it feels like we're going right now. And that was with a tailwind down the hill. And in my mind, I was just thinking, oh, this is not going to be a great day if that's happened already. But I thought we've got a tailwind. It's probably worth pushing the pace a little bit, knowing that I've gone out what I thought was kind of conservatively. So the next few K from like 4K, I think, to 8K were all pretty sharp, or sharper. And then we lost Ben Kelly at probably the 9K mark. And that was at the start of the hill up to the bridge where you do it. You basically go over and back on a bridge, and there's a turnaround at the bottom of the bridge. So up the hill, Nick got a little gap on me, and it just sort of extended. I'm not sure like how I let him get away so easily, but I didn't really put up much of a fight. And then looking back, like I was quite disappointed in how I kind of raced and just let it happen. And like it's easy to look back and be disappointed to show that you don't put up a fight or whatever, and you didn't hang on for long enough, or you didn't dig deep enough. But at the time, like there must be a reason that you're not, like that you can't keep up. But it, like in retrospect, you're like, what was I doing? I should have held on. It wasn't that fast. I look at the splits. I'm like, you can run that fast. But at the time, I couldn't actually run that fast. So Nick, he just gradually ran away from me, and I found myself just in a sort of a no man's land between, I wasn't really at a threat of, there was no threat of being caught, but there was also no chance that I could catch Nick. And so like in my mind, I just switched off like mentally and decided I didn't really want to hurt to get a respectable time. And I ended up like, I was really disappointed at the end, like really upset with myself how I just, like, I didn't dig deep to push through the hard time. I just fucking switched off and basically just was defeated through that period. So I ran the whole way back by myself. It was quite windy, like a headwind on the way back. So the marathoners, poor bastards, they had to do it twice. So they had to go out and back and cop that headwind twice. I ended up running 68:30. So Nick beat me by, I think, like maybe 90 seconds or so, maybe 95 seconds. And then I reckon I was 45 seconds in front of Ben, but pretty average time. I don't actually care about the time. I just care about how I raced. And it was just a bit disappointing to me, like how I handled myself during the race. But anyway,
what do you put it down to, Moose? Like you said, the curse of the half marathon. Like, yeah, you've run an amazing marathons and an amazing 15K. What is it, you reckon?
Sounds like splitting the watch at 5K was the undoing, looking,
and picking the pace up. You mean?
Because then you ran like 301, 302 after you split the watch.
Oh yeah,
it's okay, probably more. I reckon you got in your own head when you split 5K and then looked at the time. Whereas if you didn't look, if you just ran and didn't split anything, that might have been a bit different.
Maybe I could have hung on longer, but like, I don't know. I feel like when I get in a race that I really care about, I can go to some pretty deep places and really push through and fight a lot harder. But there's a lot of races that I just don't feel like it's worth me going. I don't know. I just, this is like, you know, Nick, you got to give him credit. He can hurt really often. You know, he can race multiple times a week and put himself in the hurt locker, and he can get up for that. Whereas I can't, like, I can't do that. I gotta have a race that means a lot to me to be able to go to those places.
But hasn't this been a race you like picked out a while ago and it was a bit of a focus?
Yeah, and I thought that it did. Yeah. I thought that like it did, it was going to be significant. And then, but once I realized the time was going to be slow, and also that I wasn't going to win, I was like, what's
or,
the fucking...
Or get caught for third.
Yeah, like there was no... I was like, okay, so what... So I run a hard back to the finish as hard as I can, totally bury myself. I run 67 and a half. That's shit. Like, well, I mean, it's not shit, but it's shit for what I consider, for what I want to do with my running. And I'm not going to win the race. Like, I can't catch him. I know physically I can't catch him. So I might as well, anyway.
But it's going to be a situation you've got to be in the future, though. Like, you've got to be able to, like, what happens next time in that situation? You're just going to chuck it down as well?
That's what I have to start figuring out.
Yeah. Like, say Gold Coast, like, you're sitting in third, no one's going to catch you. You're not going to run a PB, but, like, you can just jog it in for 2:16. Are you going to hammer it to run a 2:15?
Well, I'm not sure, because I was thinking, why, like, what did, when I first started running, I started running to prove to myself that I wasn't, like, soft or a quitter or whatever. Like, I wanted to run marathons to show that I could, like, hurt and be strong. And then after that, I got a bit caught up in, like, this PB chasing, right, where every race is great and you're running PBs and they come in kind of easily and naturally. And then the next thing is, oh, you could run a fast time and make a team or, like, do something significant. So there was that, like, carrot at the end. And now I'm in a position where, like, I feel like I'm not going to be satisfied unless I do something as good as what I've done in the past. And it's kind of a bit of a sad spot to be in, really.
Sounds like my last year, Moose. Where I've been at.
That's not the first time you've compared yourself to Moose, Brad. It's not good for Moose, these kind of comments coming in.
I achieved my goal last year.
Yeah, I know, yeah. You want to talk about nailing races.
But, like, I know what you mean, Moose. I don't race a lot either, and because when I do race, I pretty much burn myself out mentally. Like, I sort of go all in. But I've been thinking about it more that maybe guys like you and me should actually race more often just to put ourselves in that uncomfortable position, like, more often, so then racing doesn't become such a big deal.
Yeah, I think so too. You got to practice it. Yeah. It is something that needs to be practiced. And I think, like, I mean, Nick obviously does it a lot and he can pull it out more often. I think having, like, local cross countries and stuff is a good way to do it, where you don't have to sort of waste a lot of energy on traveling and being nervous and all this kind of shit. So that cross country series is fantastic for that. It's like you can practice your routines, you practice hurting, you know your limits a bit more.
Had you raced on the road since Doha?
Nah.
Yeah, so that's a long period.
I've done a couple of time trials.
Yeah. But you guys didn't do a lot of time trialing either, though. Like, I think you did two.
I did a road 5K and a couple of track 10Ks.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So not a lot of racing, so it'd be better for that. And how much, like, I asked you this off air last week, like, leading into it, but how much of an impact do you think having Ali in the same race, having a guy you coach in a position to go on and win the marathon, having, like, you know, all your surf coach track club guys went and girls went down there, like, it's got to have an impact. It's stress coming at you, like, managing other people as well.
I think the stress of the injury played a part in how I prepared, because I couldn't really sleep the night before. And I know my knee, it scared me because it was a very, like, acute soreness. And I feel like if that's around the corner any day of the week, I'm going to be scared shitless that it can just come back at any time. So I think that played a part in the lead up. And then I was really favoring my knee. So I went into the race with a bit of a sore calf from walking around kind of on the ball of my foot. So I was limping around, like, on the ball of my foot because I couldn't straighten my leg. And then when I was running, I was very forefoot in the days leading up. And so at about, like, 15K mark, actually right when I started to blow up, so I'm not blaming the injury, but my calf really tightened up and I had trouble kind of toeing off. So I started to change my gait a little, and a few factors compounded to to kind of make it an easier decision not to fight hard, which, yeah, at the time, like, you get you fit because you feel like you're soft at the end. That's what I felt like. I felt like you. And so I don't like feeling like that. But I just want another race now to kind of like almost prove to myself that I'm not. Because if you remember that Gold Coast, I had the same feelings afterwards as that. And then the Ballarat race was a month later. And I'm like, I got a point. I got to show myself I can do this. And so I kind of need something, I reckon. Maybe Sydney 10.
Oh, I thought you weren't doing that.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Maybe do that now.
Yeah, maybe.
Go race Croaks. This could be good.
You're going up too.
Well, we got cross country the same day, so I'm not decided yet. This could be good for you though, Croaks.
Yeah.
Really come it'll off be, the top rope.
It'll be an all-time low if Moose loses to me.
Mate, I just ran 68. I just ran a 3:33 kilometer. I reckon you run that on your long run.
Yeah, 3:28, 3:33, 16th and 17th. That's what I thought. When I first checked the result, I'm like, oh, something's happened to him at like 14, 15K and he's had to jog it in.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know what the fuck happened, but all those factors may have combined maybe it was one factor.
Nah, all those factors put together.
But they're not excuses. They're like, for me, my excuse is still I didn't fight hard enough and I was terrible, like I was shit. And maybe there was a point where there was a 5K stretch where I ran too fast and my heart rate went up too high over threshold and I can't come back from that. And that's a fitness thing. So there is a fitness element, absolutely. Probably like 80% fitness and the other 20% that sometimes pulls you through wasn't there.
But this is also where I think racing regularly, because I'm sure you're like me, it's like you pride yourself on being consistent and running well. And so because you don't race very often, when it's a shit one, it really gets you down. Whereas if you race regularly, having a shit one doesn't matter because you can go out next week and turn it around. Like you look at Nick Earl, runs just under 32 minutes at Zatopek and then races the next week and does something decent. So I guess the more times you're racing, you'll have a shit one, but you can offset that with good ones.
Yeah, that's a good point too.
Did Nick Earl give you any shit when you finished? Well, it was pretty good.
He did it passively. He was like, oh, we were like going so slow and then you just disappeared. And I'm like, yep. There's not a lot I can say. That's how it happened.
Just keep walking. Hey, Krugs, well, tell us about your week.
All right. I had a fun week, actually, because I had a bit of just a down week after the 5K. So I did gym on the Monday around lunchtime and then went out that afternoon and just did 45 minutes for 12s. The session on the Tuesday, we were out at Stromlo. And, because I was having a down week, I decided just to train with a couple of guys that had sort of just started their taper for Canberra Marathon. So session, and they're like probably 16:30, 16:45 sort of 5K guys. So session was three sets of 3 to 1 minute, 1 minute jog between the reps and 90 seconds between the sets.
I love this workout. It's a good fart leg.
Yeah, and it's hard at Stromlo trying to hit like particular splits because of the undulations, but it would have been roughly probably like 3:30 kilometer effort for the 3 minutes, 3:20s maybe for the 2 minutes, and 3:10s for the ones, and just jogging at sort of whatever pace. Like it wasn't standing recovery, it was always continually moving. So there was probably a pack of like five or six of us just rolling around doing that session. So the GPS got me running 7.35K at 3:40s for like 27 minutes or so. So that was Tuesday. Wednesday, just another 45 minutes at 4:12s. Thursday, 45 minutes again. So I just kept all my recovery runs just 45 minutes. The weather up here has been sensational. It's like the mornings are cool, like six and 8 degrees, and no wind in the afternoons, low 20s. So 45 minutes again, 4:16s. Body has been feeling really good. I think just having the sort of the down week has been good for me. So that was Thursday. Friday, we trained in the afternoon, and this was a pretty hot day. we waited to train in the afternoon because Jack, who I coach, who lives in Sydney, he was coming down for the weekend, and we thought he'd be down in time for the session, but as it turned out, he got caught in traffic, so didn't make it. But there was three of us that did the session. It was 2 by 10 minutes off a 2:30 recovery, and it was like 25, 26 degrees. We haven't had that many hot days recently, and I think just because it was a down week, I sort of went in with real low expectations, thinking it would be a super easy session, and felt pretty hard actually. I think the heat definitely played a factor. But yeah, perceived effort for what I was running was pretty high. Like I ran 3:13s for the first 10 minutes and 3:11s for the second. But I said to the boys after the first rep, I'm like, I felt more comfortable running 9 minutes for 3K in that race at Bankstown than I did for that first rep. But I guess that's often the difference between training and racing. You just don't get yourself up for it. And but yeah, I was pretty happy just to finish that one. So it was, yeah, nothing special. Then what else do we do? Then we, so it was Friday, Saturday. Yeah, basically, yeah, same as what I've been doing all week. 4:17s in the morning. I didn't run with Jack that morning. 4:17s for 45 minutes, gym after that. And then Sunday was our long run. And so I ran with Jack Maxwell and Jimmy Barker. I actually haven't run with Jimmy Barker for a couple of years, so it was nice to catch up. And yeah, we did an hour 45 through Mulligans. It was like perfect weather. We got rolling. We all felt really good. 4:04s for hour 45. Yeah, I think also just having that easy week, I felt pretty fresh. So it was a real light week, 102K. Body's good. And yeah, I'm sort of starting, I guess, sort of winter training in a way with the group that I'm sort of coaching down here. So probably means a couple of sort of slightly longer sessions, a little bit more controlled, a few more hills, a few more sort of hilly tempos, that sort of thing.
So all this talk about races, you need to find something between now and Sydney 10?
Well, Sydney 10's only, it's like three or four weeks from this weekend. I think it's actually 3 weeks from this weekend maybe. Yeah. So it's not yet.
It's not far away.
But I will be running something this weekend, not racing, but I mentioned last week that Trav wanted me to pace him at like 3:30 kilometer pace for like 25K. And I just feel like for where I'm at the moment, like I could do it, but it would be a pretty hard effort. And I feel like I'm getting on top of my body and, I don't really want to do that. But, Sean Crichton messaged me yesterday afternoon and he said, oh, do you know anybody that would, be able to keep me company for 20K at sort of 3:50s to 3:55 kilometer pace on Sunday, because he's running the 50K and he wants to have a crack at the over 50 Australian record, which is like 3:15s. And I texted him back and said, look, I've committed to handing drinks out to the athletes that I coach, but that wouldn't happen until sort of the 24K mark of the marathon. And having a look at the course, I reckon I can run 30K with him at that sort of pace. And then do the drink duties. So at this stage, that's what I'll be doing on Sunday.
So 30K at 3:50s.
3:50 to 3:55, which, like, that's a lot easier than 3:30s. Yeah, well, average 4:04s for 25 over the trails. Yeah. So that should be okay.
You're gonna kick him like you kick down all your other athletes? Just leave him in for the last 3K.
Well, he's got a niggle, so that's the thing that's sort of holding him back. He's got a bit of a crook hip, I think. So
he's got a niggle, but he wants to break the Australian 50K record.
Yep. So that's a pretty early start. That race starts at 6.
It's maybe pretty cool, I think, as well, Sunday morning.
Yeah, I think it's only a top of 17 on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's like 5 or 6 degrees.
Windy? Mm.
There is a little bit south-southeast, maybe 15 to 20K. Mm. Yeah.
20K, that's a fair bit.
Yeah, especially on the exposed sort of exposed part, like Parks Way, where you sort of run. So it's the back end of the race for the marathon and the half, so that could be a little bit windy.
That wouldn't be accurate yet, though, would it? Need to be a bit closer?
Yeah, I reckon it'll change a bit.
Could get worse, though, when they start, if it starts at 15, 20K.
Yeah.
I think that's what they were, like, that's what it was saying, was at Hobart, it's pretty windy at that if you're getting that, that's pretty windy.
Especially on those straight roads like Hobart is on the way back and on the way out.
Yeah.
Very good, Croaks. Whipped through my week. I had a good week as well. It's good when you don't have to work. Couple of, well, one public holiday in there. 14K Monday morning, 4:32 pace. 6.5K Monday afternoon at 4:37s. Then Tuesday morning, got out for a workout. We met Glenn and I at 6:30, a long warm-up as well, just waiting for it to light up a bit, so like 7.5K. Did like 4 200s before we started as well, starting at 32 and kind of cutting down to 29, which was good just to get the legs ready. And then I did 10 by 1K off a two-minute jog, averaged around 301, 302. This was a good workout. Kind of felt pretty relaxed at that pace. The 2 minutes kind of is pretty generous. Like, I felt like I was recovering pretty well in those 2 minutes. Bit of a prick of a workout to do solo, like just mentally, just a long time to concentrate. Rushed cool down then though, because 10 by 1K takes a bit of a while to get done, and then just 2K cool down to get the work on time. 6K easy in the afternoon on Tuesday. I think I put in my Strava notes my most disliked run of the week. Just you get tired. Like, Mondays are double days, and then we do the podcast on Monday night, and then Tuesday kind of early morning workout, and then a day at work, and then, yeah, by Tuesday afternoon I'm getting pretty tired, and that's hard to get out the door for. Wednesday was full recovery day. 10K easy in the morning at 4:36s, and then 10K in the afternoon at 4:35s. Thursday was the last day of school, so 16K 4:29s before work, and then just an easy 30 minutes or 28 minutes after school, 6.2K at 4:32s. And then friend of the show, Zach and Newman, come up to Echuca Moama boys. You guys know Zach well, sells advertising space on the podcast for us. So he come up for a romantic weekend away with his partner Sham, so it was good to see him up here. And then we did a workout. Archie did Vic Myler's club the night before on the Thursday night, so he was on the bike for the Friday morning workout. And we did some 3K reps. Zaka did three, I did four, with the idea to progress them every rep. So the plan was to go 3:10 pace, 3:08 pace, 3:07 pace, 3:04 pace. But got a bit rolling towards the end, but it was good early on. 9:28, this is all off 2.5 minutes jog. 9:28 for 3K, 9:23, 9:14, and then 8:58 for the last one, which was, good. I kind of said to Archie, just hold at 3:03s and just got on the back wheel. And, yeah, he said to me about 2K in, we're averaging 3-minute K pace. And then I kind of said, let's just relax a bit this last couple of minutes. And then I was pretty stoked to kind of still hold under 9 minutes.
I heard you said, when you said you're 302s or whatever, it's like, all right, Archie, kick it down now. It needs to look good on Strava a week out from the race.
Well, the exact words I think I said to him was like, let's just roll this in. I've got a race next week. Like something like
let's
that.
Let's just roll this in under three.
Which I think he might have thought that meant like roll it in, like kick it home kind of thing. But I was actually the only rep when I didn't look at my watch, because like in the first, because I wanted to be settled early, like, and I kind of said to him and Zaka, like, this whole workout gets stuffed up if we do the first one or two too quick, because then it makes it harder to progress, and then you got to have that conversation, well, do you progress it or do you just keep it in the same spot? So like that last one is when I kind of entered that flow state and just said, I start just like practicing, I'm in a race and just sitting there and focusing on the person in front of me. And yeah, when he said that, I was like, okay, now I've got to click out of this and just ease off a bit. But it was a good workout. It looks good on paper. Hopefully I can convert it to a good race this Sunday. Easy.
So last 3K, what sort of pace are we talking? Like race effort-wise, half marathon effort?
Probably
marathon,
10, I think. Probably 10K.
10K
probably effort. 10K pace.
Like, I could never run the last 3K set at 10K effort. That would – I don't know how you do that.
I just got in this trance. Like, I only started thinking 6 minutes into it. And this was, we did a bit of a shorter loop, this one. Usually we do this kind of like 5.5K loop, whereas because we had to drop Zaka off after the third rep, we did this 3K loop. So it was, there was four turns within 3K. So the GPS could have been jumping around a bit. But yeah, if someone had a gun to my head, I could have held that for, I think, 10K.
It was an impressive session, because I messaged you because I did basically half of that, and I did half of your session, but at the slower at the first two reps, and I was stuffed. Yeah, it was a pretty good session.
A bit younger than you, though, Croaks. A bit younger. But this was like having Zachary in town was a bit of a novelty for us as well. And having Archie on the bike, like this is as good as it gets for us. All on a road surface, it was probably 14, 15 degrees by the time we finished. We trained super late. Like we usually start at 6:30 for sessions at 7, and we warmed up this day at like 8 o'clock. Like this was, yeah. Workout started at 8:50. Like you just, I don't know, you get a bit more sleep and yeah. And I've always been pretty good at training. Like you know that as well. So a few factors there. On Saturday, we had four of us. I think this is the first time I've ran in a group this big in a Chukamoama. So Archie, Zaka, me and Shieldsy, he was up at his holiday house. We did, just a tick over an hour at 4:36s, which is good having a group that big up here. And then easy 30 minutes with Zaka just around Scenic Drive on Saturday night before he went out for dinner. And then went out to Barmer Forest with Dave Alcock was in town and Nathan Stoat drove over from Cobram Baruga. And we just did, an hour 45, 25K, 4:17 average. So many people camping out there. Usually we might see like 5 or 10 people kind of set up camping, but there were hundreds. Saw some Brumbies for the first time, some wild horses, which is pretty cool, seeing them hook around the forest, probably about 15, 20 of them. You fellas ever seen Brumbies on your run?
No, that's cool.
That was pretty amazing, yeah. I think they've had a lot of problems with them out there, actually, because something to do with, like, the water situation, a lot of them, like, were dying. It was really sad, just not having enough kind of, like, stuff to eat. But, it was pretty cool seeing them hook around. 160.
Stuff to eat.
Well, you know, like the water, how the allocation of the water goes out there. And they got these massive lakes. I've never ran out to the Barmer Lakes, but then they like intentionally like release it to flood the bushland and stuff. So everything goes green. So then the wildlife can eat it. But I think there's been problems with the government like allocating water and when to open it, and when to close it and things like that. And it got super dry and all these, Brumbies were dying. I know there's a house out there that has a picture of Dan Andrews on the fence saying, like, wanted for the murder of the Barmer Brumbies and stuff. Not exactly sure how accurate all that is. But, something goes on. I probably should have researched it before I started talking about it. But this is the first time I've seen the Barmer Brumbies, which is pretty cool. Like, they just looked like thoroughbreds running through the bush there. I said to Dave, I'm like, you want a horse, mate? Just come and pick one of these up, take it back to Melbourne. But yeah, I think they're like pretty wild. Anyway, that was 160K, big boy week. Haven't been that high since like for, I don't know how long, maybe October 2020.
So you have your biggest week the week before the race week?
Just a B race, mate. Just going up to visit Croaks and Viv and just happens to be a race on that weekend, which is good. No, I'm still gaining fitness, Moose. Just got to take as much as you can.
The A race was Friday morning.
Yeah, and Tuesday. And the 10x1K. Yeah, so I'll ease things off a bit this week, freshen up a bit, and then, see who turns up and see what's going to happen race day, what the weather does, go around, just have a bit of fun. I haven't been on the road since Hobart.
Do you know who's running?
I just know your mate, Toby. That's all I know. You guys got any names?
No, I've got no names.
Ferg's running.
Oh, is he?
Ferg, yeah, he's been going all right.
What's his PB for a half marathon?
I don't know, but he goes all right. Sub 15, man.
Sub 15, okay, yeah. That's good. What's Toby PBs? I've never heard of this kid until you started talking about him on here.
No, he's been out of the sport for a while. So he was a good junior, I think. And then he left the sport and now he's come back and then COVID allowed him basically a year to catch up again. So he's going to be aiming to beat you.
Yep. What about Michael Rowe, Croaks, reckon he'll start 2 weeks out from that Athletes Australia marathon? He might roll around.
Possibly. I haven't heard anything.
He's a bit of a baller. Wouldn't surprise me if he raced.
But is there cash on? Is there cash?
Yeah, $250. Remember they cut it, but it's still got $250. Just reduced it.
Yeah, okay.
Should be fun. I'm just looking forward to getting out there. Let's thank some Patreon supporters, eh?
All right.
Do you want to kick us off, Moose? Because then Croaks as follows yours.
Yep, so Stephen Woolley is my man. He's from Brisbane. 16:55 5K, 1:19 half marathon. Massive PB for him last weekend. So where did he do that at?
There was that one that Lewis McCaffey, I reckon, ran.
Oh yeah, the one outside Brisbane, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, not sure what was it, run south or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, I did see. I looked at the course actually because I never heard of that run before. But
oh, the great South Run.
Great South Run. Yep, that was it.
Yeah. So we didn't talk about that on the show, but
there were so many race results last week, though. Remember?
Okay. Yeah. So he was a former. Well, you're never a former Australian champion. You he's a two-time Australian champion, three-time state Muay Thai champion. So you don't put former there. That's like saying former Olympian. No, he's an Olympian.
I just copied it straight from his Strava bio. That's what it's written. Or maybe Facebook, one of them.
He's not giving himself enough credit there. So two-time Australian, so he can fight.
He can fight, yeah.
Yeah. he may have two kids and a dog, but he can fight. So this is probably the first person that may be able to challenge me for the title.
Would it be like the best this has to be a pretty good combination as well, of fighting ability and running ability, like 1655 and can fight.
Yeah, he might have been, like, I often wonder how good these guys are at running, because they do a lot of running for their fitness, because it helps their cardio, I guess. Like, you remember seeing Conor McGregor in his documentary? He was on the bike. He was on a road bike out in Vegas.
Yeah, that's right.
I wonder if he's actually any good at this, or like I wonder if he's obviously got an engine, but I don't know.
Mm.
Wonder if Steve. Obviously Steve can go all right.
Mm, obviously, who you got, Croaks?
Well, another guy that can go all right is Jeremy Woolley. Jeremy is Stephen's dad. Lives in Brisbane as well. And maybe the first father and son duo on Patreon. Works at Southern Cross Engineering, studied at the Uni of Southern Queensland, and was originally from Maidstone, Kent, UK. Has done 202 park runs, ran 21:18 on the weekend for a park run PB, and he's in the 65 to 69 age group. So that's flying for that age. His PBs are 15:55 for 5K, 33:40 for 10, 77 for the half and 248 for the marathon. Not sure whether Jeremy can fight, but thanks for your support, Jeremy.
Yeah, how good is that? A father and son combo. That's special.
Very cool.
I'm going to thank Lawson Watley from Rockhampton in Queensland. 19:41 for 5K, 40:40 for 10K, and 1:38 half marathon off the bike, though. Does a few triathlons at the Moolabah half marathon, half Ironman, sorry. Possibly an electrical engineer, maybe plays in a band also, and studied at the Central Queensland University. Just stumbled my way through that one, fellas, but thanks, Lawson.
Where's
Jeremy.
Central Queensland? Where's that?
Central Queensland, I'd say. Central Queensland University.
What cities are in Central Queensland?
Well, do you reckon it's Central Coast?
No, I reckon it's central. So Central Queensland's probably like Gladstone, that sort of area, you know, like halfway between like Tweed Heads and the Cape.
Nah, Rockhampton. Just Google
it. Yeah, well, there you go.
That's where
it is on the coast. Is that on the coast, Rockhampton?
It's where he lives, so it probably makes a bit of sense.
Hmm.
Oh, true.
Nah, that's pretty inland on this map.
Rockhampton.
Yeah, but central in terms of, you know, from south, north to south.
I reckon it'd have to be at least 50K inland, would it? You been there, Croaks?
No.
I haven't been that way either. Thanks, fellas, legends over there, for your Patreon support and all the other legendary patrons as well. A bit of Road to Nowhere coming to you tomorrow. Running news, fellas, big week again. We've got world records getting broken. We've got some fast races at Box Hill Classic. We'll do our best to go through all of it. Should we start on Thursday night, though? Good Friday Eve, Box Hill Classic. You guys tune into the stream?
Yeah, I watched it.
It's good.
I watched it.
Some good performances, weren't there? Let's start with your mate, Croaks, Jai Edwards. Wins again.
So he managed to get over the top of Matt Ramsden and Ryan Gregson. So he won the race in 335.46 to Ramsden's 335.94, and Gregson was 336.72. So they had a pacemaker early on, and then once the pacemaker sort of dropped off, they sort of slowed a little bit. Ramsden sort of made his run from home. He had put in a bit of a surge with, like, just before 400. Jai just sort of got on the back and just waited, and what, probably 100 to go, 150 to go, went around and sort of, managed to gap him. So he's 0.46 off the Olympic qualifying standard, but like the way that he finished, like in hindsight, he probably should have just went a little bit earlier because it looked like he was still sort of full of running. But, you know, like outside of Stewie, he's beaten all of the top contenders for the Olympics, like Olympic 1500 meter spots.
Beat Ollie Hoare.
He beat Ollie Hoare, yeah.
Bankstown.
Beat Charlie Hunter.
No, he has beat Charlie Hunter, but do you reckon, I reckon Charlie might actually focus more on the eight.
It looks like that's what he's doing with his college racing.
Yeah, so so it's going to be really interesting because, you know, he must be full of confidence going into nationals now, knowing that he can beat all these guys. And I really think that if he can finish top two at nationals and get the standard at some other race, he'll be on the team.
Where's he going to get the time, though? This could that's the big trouble. That's a big problem.
Did you guys see that press release from Oceania Athletics that they're going to be putting on some meets up around Townsville? I'm not sure, though, whether this is going to be before or after the qualification period, but I'm sure they'll try and set up a few more races.
I think the idea is that there's racing opportunities for the camps that will be held there. I think there'll be pre-Olympic camps held there and they'll put on races so people can get some competition.
Yeah.
I believe that will be the plan.
Because I was chatting to Rory Hunter actually a couple of weeks ago at the track, and because he's coming back from injury and he ran 3:38 in that race. And I'm like, well, sort of what do you do after nationals? You know, there's nothing. He's like, yeah, I'm not really sure. But he's in a pretty unique position where, like, Dick Telford's squad, they could almost set up a good race like within amongst themselves. So I'm not sure whether that's an option, whether they set up some races down here in Canberra at some of those high noon meets or whatever. But to be only 0.46 off the standard, you'd think he's got to try and have another crack somewhere.
Yeah, well, he really needs to focus just on winning nationals, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I can't see nationals being
fast,
like, super quick.
But he has to just get that next to his name. Otherwise, otherwise it could turn really simple. It's just like Stewie, if he wants it, Ramsden and Ollie Hoare, the other two that have the time. Because Gregson also needs to get it. He was 336.7 in third. Ramsden.
They're getting closer, though, aren't they?
They are getting closer.
Everyone's getting closer. Like, I mean, really, Gregson 1.7 seconds off the standard there.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who can race and he's got a history of winning national championships too.
What really cost him, and I think I messaged you guys straight away about this, was they just need the pace to go for a bit longer. Like, Ramsden took it up, but then he still had to lead from 800 pretty much to 1400 into the straight there. Like, if he could have just got a sat until 900 a K, then started to wind it up, it would have worked a bit better. But it's hard to find those guys, I suppose. Women's race, Lyndon Hall absolutely destroyed the field, broke the Australian record. First time an Australian female has been under 4 minutes. She ran 3:59.6. Amazing. It was so cool to watch the stream. I heard it was so much better in person as well. Crowd was on the track. Everyone was yelling at her. Closed in something like 62, 63. Come home full of running. And to do that kind of performance pretty much by herself after the pace had dropped out was pretty phenomenal to see.
One of the best pieces of running you'll probably ever watch if you were lucky enough to be there or tune in to see that happen after all the runners we've had go through it, like the Australian distance running ranks. To see someone solo time trot, wait, no, she did have a pacer, but that wasn't that long, was it? When did the pacer leave?
800 maybe.
She
pretty much time trialed an Australian record. That is unheard of.
And to have the honour of being the first Australian female under 4 minutes is pretty cool as well. Like that adds a little bit extra to that Aussie record.
It's a benchmark, a milestone. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look who she beat. She beat Jean Gregson
and Melissa Duncan.
10 seconds.
And Camille Buscombe as well. Like, all world class people in second, third, and fourth.
Yeah.
It was like a different race. They weren't even in the picture. It's all about her.
So she obviously, like, when we do the if we did that same who's the top Australian female distance runners of all time, well, you put Lyndon back in with Australian record first under 4 minutes,
And she broke two the other week as well. That's significant.
Yeah, she's jumping up, isn't she?
Yeah, 100%. So going to be, and I think, you know, stepping down to those eights just shows she's got that turn of speed as well. Like she's going to be fantastic in the heats and semis at World Champions and Olympics kind of thing, because she can just close so hard now.
Yeah, I don't know. She's I think a racer that,
that's
too.
Something she's worked on, maybe. Yeah.
And I reckon there'll be a bit of tit for tat between her and Jess Hull with this Aussie record. I reckon they'll keep lowering it between the two of them.
Yeah, didn't you slide into Jess Hull's DMs or something to let her know about it? Don't you copy and paste and stuff on our message group?
I just commented on Jess's Instagram post.
He was real happy he got a reply. Real happy with
wasn't
it.
He? Of course I was.
copied and pasted it through to us.
No, it was pretty classy of her to put up a post, you know, congratulating Lyndon. So, yeah. Anyway.
Jess Hull's on the other side of the world. Moose got this 41-year-old creep just commenting on her post.
Like, not 41 yet.
Goes, who's this bloke? Sees that photo of him in the cycling kit with his hair out.
Yeah.
Going, what is this guy's on about?
All right, let's talk about the men's 3K, because that was an absolute cracker. Dave McNeil turned back the clock and ran a massive PB to win in 7:46.41 and did it largely solo. Had a pacemaker for maybe 1600?
Yeah, it was a mile, four laps, Tom Thorpe, yep.
And then just dropped the hammer after that, and we're like, ooh, this, wonder if he's going to be able to hang on. But he still looked full of running, even when he crossed the line. So, yeah, 7:46.41, like that's super impressive. Second was Liam Cashin, 7:58.89, and third was Isaac Hockey, 8:01.21.
Yeah, what impressive, about wasn't it? When the pacer dropped out, he just dropped to 60.
Yeah, that I thought, oh, this is early, Dave. Are you sure you want to do this? Because it was a long way out. It was. It was like, you've got four laps left?
Yep, or three and a half at that stage, yeah. But it looked like he was almost wanted to cook himself and be cooked with a lap to go and then just finish it off with heart kind of thing. Like, he was just kind of totally done with a lap to go and just going to his arms and just trying to get it all out.
Yeah,
you know those guys that don't save anything for the last lap?
And so that gives him hope that 5K time's still on, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and 10K. Like, I still think he's a bit underrated over 10. But this, oh, I don't know where you find the races. Women's Race Across, you watch that one, the 3K?
Yeah, so Canberra's Leanne Pompeiani won the women's in 9:12.37. Ruby Smee, I believe she's from Tassie, was second in 9:17.38. And Carly Thackeray was third in 9:24.
And another fast 3K over in South Australia, Moose.
Yep, Izzy Bat Doyle, she ran 8:51 for 3K to break the state record, run an 18-second PB. That's a pretty solid result. What's the Australian record? Is
8:36? Yeah, I think so.
So she's still a bit off that, but that's pretty incredible, really. There was a pretty good 3K going on when Leanne ran 9:12. I thought, oh, she's put 5 seconds into the next go and looked really smooth. But then in South Australia, someone's dumping an 8:51, and we're going, "Wow, gee, I wish." Like, we didn't see that. I don't think there was footage of it, but pretty impressive.
Couldn't imagine she would have had much company running at that pace.
So that's, 8:51 pace is 14:45 pace for 5K. So you got to add another five laps at that. So, yeah, we're starting, like, that should be, she should be getting this 5K time somewhere.
Yeah. I think Caitlin Adams ran 8:55, I think, in that race. So would have had somebody around. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry, I missed that. I saw this headline.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a huge race then over there. Wow.
They got that depth, though, the South Australia. Chuck Tara Palm, Jess Denton. A few guns over there. Hobart Marathon, Moose, you want to tell us about these results? We already talked about the half. Nick Earl got the win, 66:54. Julian Spence in 68:30. And Ben Kelly, 69:14. Tell us about the women's race, though. Ellie absolutely destroyed the course record.
Yeah, this was a great run. 71:23 Ellie ran. And that Sarah Klein was second, 76:03. And Miriam Dowie was 119:28. And 71.23 on that course is pretty outstanding with those conditions. Really, the wind was quite strong coming back on the road. So from probably 12K back to the finish line, you had some sort of headwind at any given time, and there was a patch of about 3K where it was a really solid headwind. Ali did have a pack around her running, so she got to tuck in there, but she ran 71.23, and I think like she's firing right now. That was pretty incredible. She took a minute 40 or something off Millie Clark's record. In the marathon, Matt Gunther won in 2:25. So Matt is a surf track club guy. I coached Matt, so it was really cool to see Matt win because, again, it was a shit day, but it was especially shit for the marathoners because they had to turn around and know they had to head back down the road to only to cop the headwind again. I was like, for Matt to run that time, that was pretty impressive. I thought maybe over the marathon, like 4 minutes would be about the right mark, I think, with the wind and the course isn't flat down there either. So to run 300 meters over a marathon, it's pretty hilly when you compare like Berlin or something's 80 meters, and then to get those conditions. So he ran 2:25.58. He was in front of Brett Ellis, 2:28.05, and Ash Hoffman, another fella I coach, he ran 2:30.41. So based off what these guys were training at and what I thought they were capable of, 4 minutes off each of these times would be about spot on to what I thought they could do on a flat, fast course at any time. So that was good. Good for those guys. Like, they ran smart. I think everyone out there adjusted their plan for the wind. Marnie Ponton, she did the same. So she ran 2:39.11, the course record. So, I mean, very impressive run to get a course record on that day. But she adjusted her plans as well. And I think she wanted to run under 2:35. But, again, 4 minutes was about right there. So she beat Millie Clark, who was originally in the half marathon field. All the press was about her and Ali having a race, like a head-to-head half marathon battle. But she decided to move events to the marathon.
Do you know why, Moose?
I don't know why, no.
It seems odd if you're coming back from an injury that you'd run a 2. Like, I don't know what. Did she have a crack to run 2:41? Like, remember, she's got the qualifier for Tokyo. Her name's in the hat.
Yeah, but...
But I'm saying 2:41 does nothing.
2:41 is pretty solid.
It's not easy. It's not easy Sunday run pace.
Yeah, but I'm saying that 2:41 is not going to help her get picked for the Olympics.
No, and well, I don't think she did it. Like, Welshy, who is her manager, before the race, we were standing around and he was on the mic and he said, oh, the coach told her she has to do a long run today. So she decided to do the marathon. And so, like, I was with Ali and Ali was really disappointed because she was looking forward to having a race. But yeah, so 2:41 is an odd thing. It's just a really long tempo run, I guess. Like, that's a hard workout over the marathon. When your PB is 2:28 something, isn't it? 2:28. That's only 13 minutes off on a very bad day on a hilly course. So the effort, like, I would have assumed going into, like, to be put into that 2:41 would be quite high. She nearly did beat Marnie, but Marnie was strong enough, held on and got the course record. And Maggie Lennox was third, 2:58.05.
Surf Coast Track Club dominates down at Hobart. He's up and about too, isn't he, Croaks?
Good night out, Moose, afterwards.
Oh, mate, everyone going on about how good their run was, and I was sitting there just going, fuck, gee, I'm a good coach. Nah, it was really fun. We went to a few joints and I got to bed late and I didn't sleep much, and and I'm feeling pretty average right now.
You need to have the lows. Secondhand. You need to have the shit runs though, Moose. The lows make the highs even better.
Yeah, I know. I still enjoyed it. It was great. I mean, marathon is finishing a marathon. Basically, it doesn't matter even if they have a bad marathon. The fact is it's over and they don't have to worry about it again. They're just there's a lot of good energy coming out of that.
Yeah, it's because they get a couple of weeks off.
Yeah, and all of the worry's gone, all of the stress, and it's just like, okay, let's relax now, let's talk some shit. The boys and the girls there, they have good banter. It was pretty fun. Pretty fun night. Good group, though. Surf Coast. How about that? Surf Coast Track Club, just a little group on the Surf Coast, rolls down, takes the half marathon women, takes second in the men's half. They were first in the men's marathon, third. Hoffman's not quite there. But then Hutchie, I think he came sixth. There was Doki was out there. He did well. He ran with Marnie the whole way. Jared McMullen.
Not a lot of competition with track clubs down there, though, Moose.
I was going to say, let's have the same recap after Gold Coast Marathon and we'll see.
Yeah, or maybe Gels Park Relays. See how he's going there.
Hey. We're on a recruitment drive. We don't need to recruit. They'll be coming to us now.
Are you running for Geelong or Ballarat this season?
Ballarat.
We should say the Bendigo team. It's ridiculous.
Are you still in Div 2?
Yeah, but that's all right. We're going to race everyone in Div 1.
Mate, Div 2, no one cares about Div 2.
I care.
You guys start from behind somewhere.
Yeah, I will catch us and then beach us as well. Div 1 teams are in trouble this year.
You could win by 10 minutes and still no one cares because you're in Div 2.
Send a statement if that happens. Let's go overseas. Beth Potter. This was interesting. Scottish athlete Beth Potter. She ran 14:41 at the podium 5K road race to set a world and British record for the road 5K. Kind of unexpected. Her PB was maybe like 15. I should really do this kind of research. I think it's 15:17 or something like that on the track. Is an Olympian, recently gone to the triathlons and then come out and run this 14:41. You boys would have seen it all over Twitter and stuff blowing up.
Yeah, I did. And this is pretty surprising, obviously. You don't see this happen very often. Like, it says here the 29-year-old 2016 Olympian had run 15:24 at the same event last year and is currently focusing on triathlon. So, like, for me, this is... I don't understand how this can happen.
15:28 track PB. Sorry, I just looked that up to make sure I had it right. Yeah, it's a huge improvement.
This isn't... It doesn't make sense to me, like... We've been around running long enough to know this doesn't happen. That someone who trains for a different sport doesn't come in and break a world record in another sport. Like, I can't get my head around it, how it's actually happened.
5K road world record is weak, though. Like, there's girls that are running...
It's 14:41.
Yeah, but girls that ran 14:20 and quicker on the track that never do a 5K road race. So there is a bit of a difference there. But, yeah.
But she's gone from last year running... Like, all time, right, she's run 15:24 on the road and 15:28 on the track. All time, she's dropped down to 14:41. Like, this, does that make sense to you?
No. And, like, even, it doesn't matter what pair of shoes you're in, because all that's been brought up again.
Oh, mate,
you were in the same pair of shoes, weren't you? You could not improve that much.
I was in
the
same pair of shoes, and I went backwards.
It's staggering, and it's going to be interesting to see it's on her profile now. It's odd. I don't know.
And it's just like, noticed, actually, so in the men's race, Jonathan Brownlee, the triathlete, he ran 13:52 to finish fourth. So the men's race was won in 13:39 by Tom Mortimer. You heard of Tom Mortimer?
No, but that seems pretty standard. Like, it wasn't like they were ridiculous times. Like, the course sounds like it's right if they're running those kind of times.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's right if it's year in, year out. Like, it sounds like this is a well-established event. And you've got to pay the credit here. Like, I'm acting shocked and surprised because it's pretty exceptional what's happened. But,
I guess we don't know anything about her, what her training, like when she ran her PBs, what her training looked like or anything like that. So, yeah.
No, I saw something before, a series of like screenshots of her going through her training days, and she said she runs 4 days a week.
Yeah, I think she's gone to triathlon. I think she's been having some pretty good success on the triathlon scene.
Yeah. So what did she go to the Olympics for?
10K, I think. Give me two seconds. I've got that up here. So, yeah, she's been running for a long time.
That's making more sense to me. Like, I thought she went to the Olympics for triathlon.
10K, she ran 33.04.
Oh, that's still, though, that's a bit, like, 33.04. I mean, let's
same
take
race
the example
that,
of...
that was Eloise Wellings that day when she ran the fourth fastest time ever.
Or could it was 2016, though. Yeah. We're 2021.
She's changed sports, mate.
She's put in a solid 5 years.
Yeah.
Hey, what about
cross training? See,
COVID hit, and she just put her head down, Moose. She just put her head down.
Imagine what she'll run on a 4.6k triathlon course. She'll break 14.
See that pick there, Olympic team as well over there. We spoke about it last week. Stephanie Davis, Jess Psaki, Steph Twell, Ben Connor, Callum Hawkins, Chris Thompson. We knew who the men's were going to be. Charlotte Perdue was the one left off. Going by her Twitter, though, she's going to appeal the decision.
Yeah, it's
fascinating.
Rough, this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, real rough because she had fast time. I think she had a faster time than Steph did. And Steph has a 10K qualifier. And then they picked someone with a slower time than her. So the only, like, there was a bit of, I'm talking about this with a couple of people going, what have they used here? What sort of discretion criteria have they used to make this call? Like, have they been talking to doctors within British Athletics to work out who's going to be a better chance of being healthy on the start line? Or, like, it doesn't make sense that someone would get picked at slower.
But didn't Steph Twell have recent results over like 5 and 10? Which you could still argue that 5 and 10 don't convert to a marathon.
It's irrelevant, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a different sport, yeah.
I don't think it's relevant at all, like how fast you can run 5K. How many great 5K races, or like even a half, someone can smash out a half and just be
I can
terrible
that.
Marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see how that appeal goes, and hopefully they do release the reasons why they selected them, just so then they know what to work on and what you've got to do in future if you're someone up and coming through. Anyway, be interesting to pay attention to that going forward. Croak's last bit of news, world half marathon record yesterday.
Yeah, so this happened at the Istanbul half marathon. So Ruth Chepengetic took 29 seconds off the world record. To win the race, she ran 64.02. She was followed by Yelimzerv Uylar in 64.40, and Helen O'Beery was third in 64.51. In the men's race, Kibiwot Kandy won in 59.35, and Cam Worrall was second, just 3 seconds behind. So 29 seconds off the half world record, it's a pretty decent amount.
64.02 is flying as well. It's getting quicker and quicker, that women's half marathon record.
Yeah.
It's almost like, it sounds like, or it doesn't sound like it, but it's an example of a lot of athletes transitioning to the road, focusing on the half now. So I know like the half was used as a training race for the marathoners for a long time, wasn't it? Or it was like considered a half marathon, like a fun run for someone who couldn't do a full marathon for a long time, especially early days. And now it looks like there's a lot of especially like Kenyans and Ethiopians who target the half, and maybe they're adjusting their training now to be a bit more specific for it. So we're seeing that like the world records get cut more often than other races. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe they've figured out how to train for them and race them. And that's why I suppose O'Beery, like, she's well known for her track performances. And now she's on the road. Like, she come third in 64.51. Hard to get to mention.
Yeah.
Like, that is...
Yeah.
That wins pretty much any men's half marathon in Australia other than Gold Coast.
I reckon all of this depth, though, in the half will transfer to the women's marathon record coming down like substantially as well over the next, like once, I guess, marathons are sort of up and running again. I just think there's too much depth at the half marathon now that, you know, there'll be super, super quick times in the women's marathon coming.
There were 10 ladies breaking 2:16.
Yeah, it just has to be. Like, you can't run 64 and not run, you know, 2:15 or something like that for the marathon. Like, yeah, so I think we'll see a lot of that over the next year or two.
Yeah, actually, some last-minute news. Stall Gift was on today, and there was a two-mile there, handicap race. Stewie ran off the back. He came, I think he came fourth in the end. He ran 8:18 for 2 miles on grass going around fellas because he had to catch him and go past him. Come fourth, Tom Thorpe won it. Jai Hadfield was second. Jack Rayner was third. Handicapper probably didn't give those guys at the back enough of a decent handicap. They never kind of got close to it. And the two front runners just ran away with it in the end. Wasn't great to watch, was it, Croaks? You watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. It was, it's definitely hard work for the back marker when you're given, 300 metres?
Yeah.
And like, what did Tom Thorpe run? What time? So how much in front of Stewie was he?
What
time did he run to win?
Oh, I don't know, probably like 8 seconds. Oh, actually, he ran he ran 8:10, and he had a handicap of 200 meters. So he ran 3K in 8:10, which is a pretty good run on grass. But I guess he'd probably run similar to that on track, though, wouldn't he? He'd run quicker than 8:10. But yeah, he's converted that pretty well. He's the state 5K champ. Stewie was. It's got him down here as 8:20 in the results. Jack Rain, 8:18. Anyway, that was good to see it on primetime TV. They're obviously doing something right if they can get 2 hours of coverage, all that prize money. It was even trending on Twitter today. Stall Gift number 3. Anyway, listen to question, Croaks.
All right. Breathing whilst running through the nose. Or mouth breathing, or both, or does it even matter? Thanks, George Rice.
This question comes up quite a lot when you just talk to people at work about running. You notice that?
It's never popped in my head. Am I using my mouth or my nose?
I focus more on rhythm and control, like, but I don't worry about whether it's coming through my mouth or my nose.
And that's why I put it in for this week, because I think people overthink it too much. Like, I'm the same, never think about it, finish workouts and don't think about it. Yeah, been running for years, never considered it.
Well, put it this way, if I was racing and all I was able to do was breathe through my nose, I'd be cooked pretty early and wouldn't run very fast.
We had someone pop through the store the other day, was talking to Bree and said that he focuses on nose breathing, and so he tapes his mouth shut at night when he goes to bed to teach himself to breathe through his nose more. There was tape across his.
There was a book released last year, and I remember the author was on Joe Rogan talking about this, like how it can improve your like life in some ways, just like making the most of it through the nose.
Anyway, yeah, let's go. Ask Ruth Chepngetich.
She won at Doha as well, didn't she? The marathon. Or not as well. You didn't win there, but you were there.
Yeah, she did win the world marathon champs.
Yep.
Yeah, so I wonder, I don't think these guys consider that.
No. Don't think it's a question that's relevant.
Do you guys think though that focusing like having your breathing under control is like important and like it's a sign of like how hard you're working? Like I definitely, when I start to get tired or like I use my breathing as a guide of whether I'm going too hard. Like the perfect example is say I go down to park run and I volunteer to be the 20-minute pacer, and you go out and like 3 minutes in, you've got these people around you like breathing so heavy. You're like, there's no way you're staying at this pace. So I find that if I can have my breathing in control, in good rhythm, not you know, when you get a real sort of, when you work, when you sort of go above that threshold, you start to really gut like gasp and you, yeah, you know, it's not controlled anymore.
When you're doing track workouts, like 400s, and you only got a minute, and then like you just can't get your breath back in time by like the eighth or 10th one.
Yeah. So I focus more on that's under control rather than your nose or mouth.
Yep. Thanks for the question, George. Moves on the loose, purchase of the week.
I got these new shoes
over the weekend.
Business trip. I went to a whiskey bar last night and then sat down just after the group got a bit raucous. It's like some Bree and I just took off and went to this whiskey bar by ourselves, and in the end we got found by a few guns that come in, pissed as fart, and he was causing a lot of fun in the whiskey. But anyway, I had this plate of like a flight of whiskeys, like Best of Tasmania it was. So shit, like the whiskey guy who owns it or whoever picks his three favorite whiskeys and puts them out. And I was like, yeah, I think I'll have that. So that was my purchase of the week, night out with the whiskey.
How much does something like that cost?
I think it was like $70.
$70.
So it's not crazy.
Whiskey's pretty expensive though, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, well, these are good ones. I mean, that's probably massively overpriced.
Is Jim Beam whiskey? Is that? Yeah, that's whiskey.
That's
isn't
bourbon.
It? Bourbon.
Yeah, it's bourbon whiskey. This was
Jack these Daniels. Were all single malt.
Same.
Okay. Know what to get him for his birthday now, Croaks? Boy, with Jim Beam.
Don't get me that.
That's what I'll be getting you. Put it on the Instagram really podcast card. Send it down there.
Whiskey bar really on Sunday night after you win the half, Brady.
What about Woodstocks? You drink Woodstocks out of the cans? No, there's like
I
4 foot.
I used to drink a lot of Woods. Yeah, if I crack a big Woody. Got that sticker.
440 mil.
Used to love those stickers.
Yep. Well, good one. Have you got a moose on the loose, or that's it? Just purchase of the week.
I got a few, but I'm not going to say them because I'm too like fragilely hungover to deal with any repercussions of them.
Stall dodges a bullet this year.
Stall, mate. Stall. They're on TV. They get $40,000 for their winners. They've got it going on. Yeah. And then we're talking about Box Hill seeing someone break the Australian record, and like obviously Box Hill's fantastic meat, but it's not on Channel 7, is it?
No.
We're watching someone who is way off the front, the sprinter, win in the slowest, like, she was the slowest runner in the field, but she was got the most amount of money as a reward. Mm. Like, what the fuck? How did, like, this is, show anyone else this, and they're like, oh, no, who's the fastest? No, this guy's the best, yeah, or this girl's the best, but she didn't win. No, she didn't win because she had to run further than everyone else. So
we go,
why
Brady.
Are we giving the money?
We got a moose on the loose out of him.
That's what I was trying to get, Croaks. That's why I asked. We'll come back to that segment, and then you just open the door.
And then the winner compared herself to Cathy Freeman.
No, she didn't.
She did.
Yeah.
She did.
What did she say?
Post-race interview, she said she was inspired by watching Cathy Freeman win there or something.
Thinking that they're amazing, they're amazing, and I couldn't be like them.
Well, Croaks has got the actual quote. He was a real fire up at that.
Viv was fired up.
Nothing wrong with winning races at Stall, fellas. Nothing wrong with winning races.
It's like good on him for winning the money, but it's just like as Viv said, it's like so wrong that there's somebody that's not actually that fast wins $40,000, and somebody like Stewie, who's world class, breaks Aussie records, wins national titles, wins nothing at those races.
But they're not taking the money off Stewie. They've got a product people supporting their product. And it's like, well, maybe athletics need a tap on Stall Gift's shoulder and say, hey, how do you guys do this? Like, can we have some tips? Because,
Well,
it's the history of Stall, isn't it? It's the tradition. History, it's the history,
Even that package they put on before it started, Brad, did you see that?
Oh, yeah, that goosebumps. That was well done. That was really good.
Said a really good story about the history of it. Yep. What's coming up? Now, Nationals this weekend? I think I could have that wrong.
The weekend after.
So I don't know what's coming up this weekend other than the Canberra Marathon Festival, Croaks. Me and you up there. We're going to do a group run at Mulligan's the day before, you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon Saturday is probably better than Monday because people will go home, plus the marathoners won't want to run.
Let's go.
What do you reckon, Brady? Like 9 o'clock? 8:30?
8:30 we'll go, I reckon. 8:30, Mulligan's Gate. Anyone listening? Come for a run?
Yeah.
Can you bring me one of those Mulligan's Track Club singlets?
Meet at the gate.
Is that what it's called? The gate at Mulligan's.
There's a Mulligan's Flat car park, but you have to walk about 400 metres over a hill down the other side to get to the gate. So we'll meet at the gate.
At the gate. Message Croaks if you're not sure, listeners. 8:30. 8:30 sharp. Is your mate Zane, will he come along? I really want to meet him.
I don't know.
Get Zane there.
I'll message all my athletes, see if they're keen.
Get them there. Oh, a couple of runner PB runners there. I'll get them out there. See if we can get 100, eh? That'd be right. 100 through Mulligan's on Saturday morning. Moose, drive up for it if you can. Come for a little shakeout.
I've been there. Seen it all.
Yeah. What do you got coming up, Moose?
Gold Rush Trail runs this weekend. So if anyone in Melbourne, Victoria or whatever wants to come for a fun day out on the trails, Gold Rush is on. So 24K, 13K or 6K on some of the nicest trails around Dalesford. You can come down and stay for the weekend. There's Jubilee Caravan Park, have a discount right there. And you can also you can go to Sailors Falls Winery where it finishes. You're going to have a bit of a carnival atmosphere at the end. Come down. Come down, spend the day. You can enter on the day if you need to. It's going to be a fun event. You've been there before, Brady.
Yeah. That finishing shoot's real cool as well. Good festival feel there. Some good food vans and stuff like that. Yep. Sounds good. Croaks, what are you doing between now and next week?
Hanging out with you for a few days.
Yep. Nothing before that.
No, just training, which because daylight savings ended now and because we've been training at like starting the sessions at 6 o'clock, just got to look for a few new training venues that are sort of lit. We're trying a new venue tomorrow night. And then, another session Friday. And, and then hang out with you, hopefully, Saturday and through till Monday.
Be the weekend before we know it. All right, our listeners, we're done. The 20 minutes of Road to Nowhere from last week coming up. And we'll see you again next week. See you, boys.
See you, guys.
See you later. Right, we're going?
Go.
Okay. Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 8 of the second season of Road to Nowhere. Big show coming up. We've got our weeks. Me and Joel got race recaps. A big apology from Joel, actually. Looking forward to that one. Phone a friend segment. Listener questions. And Joel's song of the week this week?
No, I think it's Ellie's.
Is it Ellie's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ellie can do hers and I'll take
song of the week.
Yeah, it's now lined up, so it's Phone a Friend and Song of the Week. Because
Have any friends and I don't know any songs.
All right, I'm Nick Earl, a man who's going to be eating a lot of chocolate on Sunday, hopefully. Welcome to my co-hosts, someone who's also going to be eating lots of chocolate, Ellie Pashley. How are you?
Good, thanks, Nick.
You looking forward to Sunday?
Yeah, I am, actually. I'm excited.
So for those who don't know, we're doing the Cadbury Half Marathon. Well, it's called the Hobart. No, it's called the Easter Marathon Festival now for some reason. But most people just call it the Hobart Marathon Festival. So looking forward to that. And welcome to my other co-host, a man who's off to Disneyland for the Mickey Mouse race on the weekend, Joel Tobin White. How are you?
I'm good. You dickhead.
What are you doing? Bloody handicap race when there's proper races going on. Unbelievable.
How much cash is up for grabs, Joel?
For the win, I think it's 3.2.
Whoa. So, really?
Yeah. And it pays down to about 10th or 8th. It's really good, really good money. Oh. So now you know why we're doing it.
Jokes on us, Nick.
Exactly.
But it's still a handicap race. You're going to have to look in the mirror, like, you know, that evening when, you know, you just think, what have I become? Honestly.
Ugh. Have to wear one of those stupid bibs.
Oh, it's just all stupid. I don't know how that got off the ground. But anyway, right. First things first, Joel. Explain to the listeners why you have to apologize to me.
Oh, this sucks. So at the end of last week's episode, Nick put Supersonic Oasis as his song of the week, and I rudely came over the top of him and told him that I'd used it as my song of the week in season one earlier last year, and we have since found out that is not true. So Nick, I'm sorry, and let's move on real quick. Anyway,
hang on, Joel, who's the biggest Oasis fan out of us two?
I guess you are.
Who's the more knowledgeable music man out of us two?
Well, why'd you say music?
No, answer the question, Joel. Answer the question.
No, let's actually go back to that. Music.
Sorry, where I'm from in England, you say music.
I don't think you do. I know British people.
You didn't need a new one from Norwich, right? You say music. That's what you say in Norwich.
Do you say new too?
Yeah, new. New way. New way, mate.
No, I mean new, what? New as in for new.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you do that. New, yeah.
What's the other new?
So, you it's know, you.
You, they say new, yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
And they say new for no, anyway. All right, fine.
This is really bad.
More knowledgeable music man, Joel.
We sure we want these 20 minutes going out? Who's the most knowledgeable music man? Me.
Well, you didn't know about indie music from the UK in the 90s.
You were born.
I didn't know about it. I just thought that I'd use as my song of the week, you worker.
Super solid. I just knew you hadn't because I was like, I would remember that. And yeah, it turns out I was right. Anyway, right, enough of this. Ellie, tell us about your running week.
Okay.
Oh, for God's sake.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I can go.
Joel, tell us about your running week.
Running away in my head. You've really let the team down as you always do, week in, week out. Ellie, that's no worries. I'll pick up the pieces.
Thanks for saving the show, Joel.
No worries. Happens the weekend. So Tuesday, I had a pre-race session. We were at Moorabbin Track, our group, which is the first time I've been on the track in about 25 years. So that was nice. It was really good. Because the paces don't change. We have this joke in our group of the boys that because we often start our training with like a 2K, we'll have a 5-lapper or a 6-lapper, and we've always said that 4 years ago it used to be 72, and at Waverley it was like 72 seconds, and then we went to Moorabbin once and it got adjusted because we're on the track to 70s. And we did that for, a few weeks. And then we went back to Waverley, but it didn't get adjusted back. So then Waverley's grass, exactly. So then it was 70s at Waverley. And then we went the next year, it was back at Moorabbin. It got adjusted to 68s. Then we went back to Waverley and it was 68s. And it was 68s for ages. And so we thought, here we go. We're going to be doing a 2K 66. That's how it's going to work out. But I think we hit the peak. So no, just... it was a pretty cruisy session. I had 2K in 68s, and then I had 4 300s coming through in like 47, 48 with 100 jog, and then I had 4 200s in 28, and that was it.
4 200s. How did they feel? Did you have good pop?
Actually, they felt ratchet. So I have. Again, my slippery 4% that I train in every session. The track, it had been raining a lot, so the track was wet.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel really good on the straights, but, I can't. The same thing happened at Waverley today, so I'm obviously not learning, but Rambo and I were talking about it because we were doing some fast 200s again today, and we were saying that we've got fucking long torsos and we feel like our feet are in lane 5. Our feet are in lane 5 going around the bend. And our head is over inside the track.
Long torso.
Just about to slip out. Every step in the bend, I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to slip out. Oh, no, I'm going to slip out. And then I'm like, oh, fine, I'm in the straight. So it was good. It was a good pre-race session. It was the first time in a long while where I go to a Tuesday with a smile on my face and I leave the track with a smile on my face because I'm not absolutely buried. So, yeah, it was nice. Good. And then Thursday
night. That's why you couldn't do your Caulfield threshold on the grass that day too when it was slippery.
Well, yeah. Do you
is mean your center I... of is your center of gravity off because your torso is too long and Stewie's is fine because he's got a short torso?
Oh, no. I reckon you might be onto something there.
So you got tiny legs. Rare for you.
it's got something to do with my torso being 14 meters long. That's for sure.
Interesting. I like it.
Oh, you like a long torso, do you?
No, I like the theory.
Oh, the theory. That's where we're going. Yeah. I love that photo with you behind the pole. Really made me laugh, Joel.
Oh, I knew. That guy commented and said, wait till Nick sees that.
Yeah.
It was just so typical.
Yeah. That was great. Yeah, all right. Tell us about the race then, Joel.
Yeah, and then Thursday had a 5K race at Collingwood. And yeah, it was good. I warmed up, felt pretty good. Sort of thought maybe I'd I'd eaten too close again because I was like burping up. Felt like I was burping up food, and I was like, shit, I ate 3 hours before I was warming up. Like, this is bullshit.
I think
it was maybe just rice, white rice. This is an interesting one, and I think it works really well. Brett told me it. You mix like a muesli bar or a couple of muesli bars through white rice. So well, it's like you get a combo between, yeah, it's really nice because then it's hot. So it's like a chocolate
bar.
You break it up. Like a chocolate Uncle Toby. I had a like chocolate Uncle Toby's one, and the chocolate sort of melts in with the rice, and it's sort of like having almost like a rice pudding, but without all like the milky stuff.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like high. Yeah. I think it worked really well. Yeah, so then I obviously didn't have a plan in the race. I thought it's not the race to sort of go, you know, try and run at the front and run a really good time. I couldn't be bothered doing that. I think, you know, if I'm going to run a big PB, it's going to be in a race where I'm like hanging on, you know, Brett and Jack or something like that, you know, coming seventh in a race, sort of like what they had at the Boxall Burn sort of thing.
Yeah.
So Liam came up to me on the start. Liam Adams obviously was doing it, and he came up to me on the start and he goes, oh, so how are we doing this? Do we want to run hard together? And I just looked at him. I was like, nah, I'll race. I said, there's $500 on the start line. I was like, nah. And I sort of thought to myself, he probably thinks that if it's slow and tactic, you know, that's why he would prefer it to be quicker. I think so. That was sort of played into his hands, and obviously if there was no prize money, different story. But when I'm need all the money I can get, I thought I just got to do what I just got to do what I do to win. So
that's, and he'd been on the tools all day as well, by the sound of it, and he had a 4-hour drive from where he was. He told me so.
There you go. No excuses.
No excuses. It was bloody funny, actually, before the race. He saw everyone putting their next percents on because of the rules weren't applied. And he was like, oh, look out. They know the testers aren't here. Here comes the EPO. I loved it. Seeing Brady and Archie put these clown shoes on, it was pretty funny, actually. I was like, look at all these people cheating.
Oh, but honestly, Nick, I think our shoes are faster.
Oh, I prefer wearing them on the track, especially if it's
For a 5K on the track. I think the Dragonflies are quicker.
Well, I lost to Brady, so I'm going to disagree with that. But
maybe if you're running, especially if you're running on your toe, maybe when you're running like 17 minutes like you do, it's different. But
I'm a club runner. Yeah, it's a bit different.
Ali was like, "Whoa, I can't believe you just said that."
That's fair. Yeah. Go on. Well, someone didn't go sub 14, though, did they, Joel?
No, because I didn't. To be honest, I thought I was going 17 minutes.
He talked a big game last week. What did he say? 13:40 or 13:30?
No, I did not.
I did.
I said all I was wanting to do was to win. That was it. I think I said if Liam runs out hard, I still think I'm in shape to run 13:30. Definitely. Yeah, but not.
Yeah, I never said Collingwood Classic, Ellie. Yeah. To be fair.
That's what I mean. Like if I was in a, okay, for example, if in 2 days, Thursday night, Jack and Brett were pacing me to a 13:30, I think I'd confident I'd run it. So,
yeah, okay.
Yeah. Nick, but then how many times have you
said? Are you going to give him that, Nick?
Nick, every single, it doesn't matter.
I don't think he can, 13:30 is like, that's different though,
Nick,
Joel.
Every single time you say.
Liam Adams has been in the tools all day. If I'd known this, I would have said you'd beat him. But he's recently run 13:40.
Yeah, and I think I can run. I ran 13:53 3 years ago.
You've surprised me, actually. Like,
Okay, to be honest, the listeners are going to be thinking, Nick, if you're not agreeing with it, it means that he can do it.
All right.
That's what happens. Every time you say,
I believe in you, Joel. This is the end of your career.
Well, then I'm fucked. Yeah. Then I'm totally fucked. I won't run. I'll run 14:10. Anyway.
So talk us through the race then, Joel. Sorry.
So there was a young guy that has been sort of showing up to our training, Ed Marks. I think he runs, I'm not actually too sure who he runs for, but he's a younger guy, pretty talented. I think he got a medal at national cross country in the juniors as a schoolboy. He might be like first year out of high school or a couple of years out of high school. I'm not too sure. Yeah. And I think his PB was 14:17, and he went out. He was wanting to try and run a PB. So obviously, with me saying that I was just going to race to win. I don't know if he heard that on the start line or whatever, but I didn't say race to win, but I'm like, I'm just going to race, which means I'm not going to run out hard and help. So this Ed Marks guy just, went out at a sort of steady pace. To be honest, I was feeling like, I was feeling absolutely unreal. Like, I haven't felt like that in a race. Like, it was just, I was just sitting on, I thought I was just running. The clock didn't work.
Yeah,
remember that, Nick? So we went through to the first 200 and it was 31, and I thought, okay, shit, I'm going to run 12:50 then if that was a 31. And then we come through the next next 200 and we get the lap at 71, 72, or was it 72? It
was, someone called out 71 and I was like, oh shit, because I thought the adrenaline was going. I was on your shoulder, actually, Joel. And I was like, oh, here we go. I feel fantastic. And then the guy's like, 71. And we're like, what? What the hell? So we must have been 37 at the 200-meter mark.
Yeah, it felt exactly. And sort of, so this Ed guy was sort of, he was picking up and down the pace a little bit. It wasn't super consistent. And I was just, I just sat in there and I was just so relaxed. And then we went through 3K in... It was like 8:24, and I wasn't even looking. I didn't really think. I remember seeing 8:24, but I didn't really think what pace that was. I genuinely thought we were running like 14:45 or something. It felt just like super slow and relaxed. And then Liam went to the front, but again, didn't try and. I think he might have tried like for like 50 meters to put in a little bit of a surge, but I just stayed on him, and then he just sort of gave up and just sort of ran at like a steady pace. We dropped that Ed guy at that point, and he sort of ran from the 3 to the 4K, and then I went round him to sort of help out a little bit, just to like, so we weren't going too pedestrian, but I didn't put in any real surge. I just sort of kept running at a sort of steady pace. It sort of felt like running threshold, to be honest. And then with 550 to go, I went as hard as I could. Like, it wasn't even a kick. I wasn't like a kick or a surge. It was literally a sprint. I sprinted as hard as I could, and was just sprinting. And there was a bit of a crowd there around on the straight. It was kind of cool. And everyone was screaming. And then I looked behind and Liam was right on me. And I thought, oh, stuff this. I'm not going to just keep surging if he's just staying on me. So then we went through the bell lap, slowed back down for another 200 meters, and then with like 200 to go, I just went all out as hard as I could again and just sprinted. And yeah, he didn't get on me. And then I won. So yeah.
Time, Joel?
14:00.
Yeah, that's annoying, wasn't it? But yeah, so
well done, Liam's hard to beat.
Thank you.
Thanks. Plucky, isn't he? But my mate who was watching goes like, Joel did the shittest kick down with 600 to go.
Yeah, then
he gave up on his kick down and then tried again next lap.
No, I didn't try it again. It worked.
yeah, exactly. I was like, because if it'll be hilarious if he didn't win. The fact that he won means it wasn't that bad. Like,
what do you mean it wasn't that bad? Your mate's a dickhead then. It was just like, I was just toying with him.
Oh, my mate is a dickhead. Yeah. But like,
it was like one of those things. I was totally in control. I wasn't panicking. To be honest, like, if Liam wanted to beat me, he needed to go, at the 3K, go super hard.
Yeah.
And try and run 2 or 3K in like 2:40s, But even then, I think I still. To be honest, I don't know. I just thought I was quite. He hasn't been doing. Yeah, he did run 13:42 or something the other day, but he's getting older and he's better at the longer endurance stuff. So I would think I should beat him on a 5K track race It's you know, if I was versing him in a half marathon on the road next weekend, that would be a different story. But yeah, I think it was funny speaking to the people on the at the end of the race. It was like, you know, a lot of Hunter guys and AMPM guys there, and they all said it was such an exciting race to watch. And so one guy came up to me and he said, he goes, oh, it was so, I couldn't believe how good that was to watch because we had no idea who was going to win. And it's like, he said, he goes, it was more exciting than the Box Hill Bird, he said. And it's funny because it's like when you watch that, they're all the boys are running so quick, but they're sort of locked into their positions.
Yeah, it's not a race, is it?
It's not really.
Yeah,
you know,
like, that was like a time trial.
Yeah. And it's, whereas this was like, oh, shit, who's going to win? Is Liam going to kick back past him? But yeah, it was good fun.
So. No, it's actually
it's fun watching people with really different strengths race each other because it's often hard to tell.
Yeah. Well, I think the Liam was based on the Inside Running podcast thing. I think it was 60% said Liam. And it was funny because the poll and who was going to win. And then just before I left to leave us, Smack was in the kitchen. I go, Smack, tell me what the poll says. And he goes, 60% Liam, 40% you. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
All right. Yeah, that's great. I voted for Liam, but that was more than
I'm sure you did. No, it wasn't. Don't say that now. There's no way you thought I'd beat Liam.
No, but
you said that last week.
Yeah, if I'd known he'd been at work all day. Anyway, it was exciting. I actually found myself like looking left.
I was at work till 9:30 the night before. How about that?
Yeah. What time did you get up?
What time did I get up? Seven.
Seven. That wasn't very convincing.
I know. I'm trying to work out what I did on Wednesday. Maybe 7:30.
No, to be fair, Joel, it was a bloody good run. And I watched. There was a live stream someone did on their phone, and yeah, it was a really cool race actually. And yeah, my mate, Lee Gadecki was there actually. He said, "You're a better looking guy in real life than you are on social media." Well, there you go.
That's probably because
I was surprised how good looking Joel is because you make him look like a really ugly bastard on your Instagram stories.
Thanks, Lee.
But yeah, no, that was a good run, Joel. You impressed me again, which is annoying. Yeah. But I'm gonna start believing in you, except for this stupid Mickey Mouse race you're doing at the weekend.
Don't believe in me.
Don't care about that.
My career is gonna go downhill once you start believing in me.
Yeah, I reckon. You're gonna be a real success in your
running. I'm fucking. I'm gonna quit.
All right. Anyway,
Saturday was my first ever first Saturday session in about 16 months. I reckon maybe 18 months. I asked Nick after the race, I'm like, what's the plan between now and next week's race? And he said, you're doing a 20-minute threshold on Saturday. I don't give a fuck if you've got work. I said, okay.
Really?
So I woke up early and did a 20-minute threshold on the road here, Yarra Boulevard before work. And it was cruisy. It was like 3:03 pace.
Wow.
Felt fine.
What
I think,
time was that?
What time of day?
Yeah.
What time? I would have got home at like 9. So I probably would have been thresholding at like 8:30, 8:20. So it wasn't too bad. I start work at 10.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad.
No. That's it. And then 90-minute run on Sunday. So it was a bit shorter mileage for the week.
And what was your case?
I think it was 105 or 110. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you did a proper taper for that race.
Well, I just take off the doubles. I take off the doubles and do less on the Sunday. I only ran 90 minutes the Sunday before. So, you know, that's when you take off the doubles, that's already 20. And then, yeah, what the extra five, it's about 25K less. Yeah.
Yep. And Bailey Merzecki Hintz, who's coached by Collis, he sent me a message about you being on Strava, Joel.
What?
I thought this might happen. I'm on Strava as a coach so that I can see when I have a new athlete, I can look through their training before I write their program. Because not
Come
all of
on,
them
get amongst it.
And there's no way I only follow my athletes and I follow Jack Brent and Collis. I think I follow my uncle, but everyone else can get fucked. I'm not using it.
Oh, come on, Joel. Follow me. Come on.
No.
What about me and Nick? Just no. us.
Come on, Joel. I want some kudos.
I haven't even given anyone kudos. I don't use it. Like, I don't look at Strava. I don't even have the app on my phone.
Imagine who's going to get your first ever kudos, Joel.
Ali in the Olympics.